All right, turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, we're going to begin reading in verse 13. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 13. One of the burdens of my heart is that there are a lot of people that talk about God and don't have a clue who they're talking about, which is why I've brought messages like the unknown God or who is the Lord that I should obey him. And quite often there are people who are shocked when you show from the scripture who God says that he is. I have another message that I've preached in a number of different places around the country that has to do with what would Jesus really do. And in that message, if I can get through all nine of them, I normally cover at least nine things, and I've thought of many more since I first did the message. And most of those things are things that the average church member have no clue about Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, most people simply have a Jesus that they've made up in their own mind, not based in Scripture. And they figure that that's Jesus. And that Jesus usually wraps up being according to their value system, not God's value system. I heard a preacher a few months ago ask this question, and he read from this passage. Now, I'm not going to re-preach his message, but it really got me to thinking, and I've studied on it and meditated on it a lot in the last few months. It was, what kind of preacher would Jesus go here today if he came back to earth and to hear a preacher? Now, that's an interesting question, and I believe we've got a biblical record of Jesus going to hear a preacher. Now, notice, beginning in verse 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. Then Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, to be sure, although the Scripture talks about John the Baptist, it is practically always in reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the importance of John the Baptist has to do with exalting the Lord Jesus Christ and making the way prepared for him. I'm sure there's numbers of things that are said in the Scripture that John the Baptist would have been embarrassed about, because John the Baptist was a man that was about glorifying the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Now, I know, I've pastored long enough to know that everybody has their favorite kind of preachers. Some like the teacher preacher. Some like the conference speaker. Some like the fireball preacher. Some love the camp meeting preachers where they yell and holler and people are screaming amen. Some like what we call the Tennessee windsucker preacher, where after every three words there's a big trying to get his breath, and the my friend preachers, and everybody's got their favorite kind of preacher. Some like that hellfire and brimstone preacher, and some don't want a hellfire and brimstone preacher. Now, to be sure, every preacher, regardless of what his style is, ought to have content, and there ought to be some combustion. In other words, without any fire at all, not many people are going to stay awake to even get the message. But there needs to be some excitement about the message from the preacher as well. It'd be interesting to get Jesus' view of the kind of preaching that Jesus would like us to have, that he would want us to have. Now, to be sure, all we have to do is go back into the life of Jesus and see what Jesus did back then to know what Jesus would do today. For the Bible says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. So what kind of preacher, if Jesus was here, would he go here preach today? Now, first, let me just mention a basic outline of this entire chapter. In chapter 3, you've got the strange servant, as you have a description of John the Baptist, and you have a description of his preaching and the place where he preached. He preached in the wilderness, all of that. You've got the successful service, for it says in verses 5 and 6, then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him into Jordan. Now, think of that great area. That big area, no radio advertising, no flyers being printed up, No advanced man going in. He just got up and preached, and the people came. By the way, they weren't all people that really wanted to hear him, but they went out to hear him. That he was a very successful preacher. He brought a striking message in verses 7 through 12. It's not a popular message today, and it wasn't popular back then. When it says in verse 7, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Now, if your preacher got up today and called all the visitors a generation of snakes, you'd be sitting there, "I can't believe he said that. What is wrong with him? Has he flipped his lid?" And yet that's what he called the crowd that came out to him. And the well-respected crowd, the dressed-up crowd, the religious crowd. And you could read the other things that he says here that are pretty straight. Now also in the passage, especially in the passage that we read about the submissive son, and that would be the Lord Jesus Christ. We see his travels. In verse 13 it says, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him." Now, from Galilee to where John was baptizing was just about 60 to 70 miles, which means just walking at a regular pace, not power walking or anything like that, it would have taken Jesus approximately 17 and a half hours of walking to go to hear John preach and to be baptized of him. Now, when I figured that out, when I heard that, I thought, you know, I wouldn't walk 17 miles to hear anybody but Jesus. I can't hardly imagine driving 2 hours, let alone walking 17 and a half hours to hear John the Baptist. Now, that's an amazing thing. And as far as we know from the biblical record, this is the only man that Jesus heard preach. I mean, he heard Jesus say when John saw him coming in John chapter 1 and verse 29, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." So we know that Jesus heard the things that John the Baptist preached. Jesus would later say of this man in Matthew 11:11, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist." Think about that. Jesus speaking about this firebrand preacher, this man who didn't back down, this man who preached it straight, this man who even in his preaching offended people, got people mad at him. And Jesus said of that preacher that among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. He says the same thing in Luke chapter 7 and verse 28. I believe that one of the reasons America's in the sad shape she's in today is the shortage of John the Baptist type preachers. There used to be a time when you went to a Bible believing church, regardless of whether it was Baptist or Nazarene or whatever, and you heard a preacher that fearlessly got up and thundered out the Word of God. And the claims that God makes for himself and the indictment that God makes against sinful mankind and the responsibility of mankind to repent and turn to God. Well, as I meditated upon that, I came up with, I believe, are some clear characteristics of a man of God that Jesus would go hear preach if he went to hear someone preach. Because we don't have a record of him even going to hear the disciples or hearing the apostles when he sent them out. We don't find him going to the rabbis to hear from them. They came to Jesus to hear from him. But what is it that Jesus would want? I think the first one is very obvious. He was a saved man. As a matter of fact, John the Baptist was called by Herod just and holy. And by the way, Herod did not like John the Baptist. He ended up having his head cut off. You know, nobody is just in themselves. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. John the Baptist was a sinner who had to be saved like every sinner has to be saved. Matter of fact, he came with the express purpose of preparing the way for the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew about his mission. His parents knew about his mission even before he was born. And we'll not turn to Luke chapter 1 for that announcement by Gabriel to Zacharias, his father. But this is the important thing. He was a saved man. You see, he understood who Jesus was. He knew he was the Messiah, the promised one. It had been prophesied. He knew that. And so when he saw Jesus and he said those words, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world," the very title that he gave Jesus, pictured him as the sacrificial lamb dying to pay our sin debt with the shedding of his precious blood. He understood that. Nobody gets to heaven without Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I want to say, as a sinner who's been redeemed, who's been made whole through the blood of Jesus Christ, that there is no greater subject that I have than to talk about Jesus Christ and to be able to exalt him. Not just say a few things that we may think about him, but to actually preach the Son of God as the only Savior that saves mankind. What a marvelous privilege that is to be able to do that. But he was a saved man. Now, can a lost man get up and give the gospel? Well, yes, he can. I mean, it's plain in the Bible what the gospel is. You say, can anybody ever be saved listening to a lost man? Well, the Bible says the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The reality is, if he gives the gospel, it is, even if that preacher is a lost man, it is possible that somebody may get saved listening to him, because it is the gospel of Christ that is the power of God unto salvation. But John wasn't just a preacher. He was a preacher who brought the gospel of God, who laid it out straight before men. You see, he understood Jesus' work. You go all the way back to Isaiah chapter 53, beginning in verse 5. He said, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Peter would later say in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, who his own self bare our sin in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 18 and 19, again, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He understood Jesus' work was to take care of our sin for salvation. Jesus did not need to tell John, like he did to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. For John already understood that. He was a saved man. He was a just man. When Jesus came for baptism, you remember that John the Baptist said, and we read it right here, he said, I have need to be baptized of you. He understood that next to Jesus, he was a sinful man. You know, you got people that when they start talking about their spirituality, they're always comparing themselves to some other person that they don't think is as spiritual. Try comparing yourself to Jesus Christ. How do you look then? He's holy. He's righteous. I always get a little worried, Brother Whitaker, when someone's talking about their spirituality all the time. A little red flag goes up. Why do they have to talk about it? Probably because there isn't much of it. And no one would notice. You understand who Jesus is, though, and you start seeing yourself like you ought to see yourself. As John the Baptist said, I have need to be baptized of thee. And that's an important revealing statement about him. Again, in John chapter 1 and verse 27, he said of Jesus, he it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet. I am not worthy to unloose. All of John's righteousness would never have gotten him to heaven. For the Bible says in Romans 8:8, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Yes, if Jesus was going to come back and listen to one preacher preach, it'd be a saved preacher that he'd listen to. Let me give you a second thing. John was a serious preacher. Go back to the passage. I want you to notice in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 2. And saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know, when the Holy Ghost set Matthew down to write the book of Matthew and make sure that every word that was put down on that piece of paper was exactly like God wanted, he didn't start him out with a joke. He started him out with a very serious message. You know, there's something about that word repent that just the word itself says, this is serious. You hear the word repent, And it automatically applies within the word itself. You've got something wrong with you. When the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy to tell him to preach, he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Now, when the Holy Ghost gives instruction on New Testament preaching, he starts out by saying, reprove. Uh-oh, this is going to be serious. Rebuke, this is going to be extra serious. Exhort, he doesn't say soothe them with kind words. As a matter of fact, Paul says that when I came unto you to the Corinthians, I ceased not to know anything save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Why? Our message is a serious message. John the Baptist was not concerned about being humorous. He had a serious message, and he proclaimed it clearly. He told the people exactly what they are. Just as every lost person is a sinner in need of a Savior, and should their heart stop beating before they come to Christ, they will die and go to hell for eternity. And there will be no escape. That's serious. There is no way to laugh about the awfulness of the doomed in hell to be burning forever with no escape. Now, I know in saying that, there's always some visitor that's sitting there thinking, I don't see how a God of love can send anybody there. I'll tell you what, if you understood anything about the holiness of God, you instead would be wondering, I don't see how God could allow any sinner into heaven. The reason that's even possible is because of his love. He loved us so much. See, something had to be done. And the only thing that could be done to take care of our sin so we could go to heaven was for there to be a perfect blood sacrifice to pay our sin debt. For the wages of sin is death. That's a serious message. I know there's sometimes, I can't help it, there's sometimes I say things that I just think are funny. But when it comes to the message, there's nothing funny about dying and going to hell. There's nothing funny about the lost staying outside of Jesus Christ. He was a serious preacher. As a matter of fact, later on when you find King Herod had taken his brother Philip's wife, Herodias, it is John the Baptist who came in. He got involved in politics. He went into the king and he said to the king, it is not lawful that you should have your brother's wife. Well, who are you telling the king? He was a man of God and he had a responsibility to tell the king. The preacher has the responsibility to preach against sin, whether it's done by the pauper or the king, whether it's done by the deacon or another preacher, or done by the biggest giver in church. He has the responsibility to give him the truth from the word of God. All the money you put in the offering plate does not take care of one sin. Give all that you got. Think of the richest man of the world. If he came in today and dropped his entire fortune in the offering plate, he'd still die and go to hell if he didn't turn to Jesus. That's the reality of the situation, and that is serious. So he was a saved preacher. This man that Jesus came and heard preach, he was a serious preacher, but that's not all. He was a strong preacher. Look at verse 2 again. In verse 2, it says, in saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, and make his paths straight. Down to verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. You see, he was a concentrated man. He didn't seem to change his message at all. He was consistent in the things that he said. He did not send a double message. He made it plain. It was a stout message. I mean, there were no foggy, indefinite generalities. when it came to John the Baptist. And it didn't make any difference to him if they liked it or not. Now, I've had the privilege, be 28 years in just about 3 weeks. I've had the privilege of being the pastor of Madison Baptist Church. I've loved the people of Madison Baptist Church. I love you. You've been precious and dear to my heart this entire time. And you've showed your love to me in a number of ways. But I want you to know something. When I stand in this pulpit, I am first and foremost a friend of Jesus Christ. And my responsibility is to please him with what's said. Now, if that pleases the congregation, then praise the Lord. But if it doesn't, well, praise the Lord. I've got to say what pleases him anyway. And the preacher that Jesus would go here would be one that would stand on God's side and simply preach it straight and preach it strong without backing up. I can't tell you how many times I have thought while I was preaching of Jeremiah, when God told Jeremiah, "Be not afraid of their faces." You'd be shocked. Now, I know my face isn't anything pretty. And as I get older, it gets uglier. I understand that. As I get more scars and all of that. Now, I know some say, "Well, preacher, your face is worthy of no portraits." I understand that. But I tell you, you haven't seen what I've seen. And while I'm preaching. Now, I've learned not everybody with a sour look on their face is mad. Some of them are just thinking. For some of us, it just hurts to think. But I'll tell you this, though. If I'm preaching really hard on something that you don't like, the best thing for you to do is smile at me. Because if I see you frowning, I'm likely to park right there and just stay. And you make the message longer when you do that. When I get to preaching on music, or when I get to preaching on clothes, or when I get to preaching on sin, on drinking, man, that just extends the message as long as you frown at me. I figure if people frown at me, they need more. Now, I think some of you have learned that, so when I'm getting somebody across the aisle, some of you frown at me just so I'll keep preaching on it and get those others, but that's another matter. He was a strong preacher. Well, of course, Isaiah 58 and verse 1 said, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins." Now, you can talk about the Hugh Hefners who just died and found out who God was. You can talk about the wickedness of that crowd all day long. But I'm going to tell you what. The problem with America is found in the church house, not the bar and not the brothel. It's God's people who won't get their hearts right with God. God's people who won't get serious about the things of God. God's people who are too much in love with the world. And the Bible warns us, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You can't get much plainer than that. We need strong preachers. As a matter of fact, this strong preacher was so strong, he took the generalities and he made them practical. You don't need to turn there, but in Luke chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, let me just read it to you. It says, "Then came also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, Exact no more than that which is appointed you." Now the publican was the tax collector. How the publican, the tax collector, made his money. He had to pay a certain amount for his district. And let's say here's a publican who has to pay $20,000 in taxes for his district. So he figures it out. He's not going to just raise $20,000 because his pay is what's over and above the $20,000. And so he would go out and he would figure it out. He'd collect taxes from the people for the $20,000 plus his $20,000. So here's John the Baptist. He's hitting them right where they live. He says, "Exact no more than that which is appointed you." Then it says, "And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, And what shall we do? And he said unto them, Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages." Boy, he could say that all across America today, couldn't he? Be content with your wages. Godliness with contentment is great gains, according to the scripture. I'm simply saying he was a strong preacher. He hit them right down where they live. Jesus, as far as we know, never went to a disciple or one of the apostles. He never went to hear them, but he did go to hear a saved preacher, a straight preacher, a strong preacher. And you know what? Jesus preached the same thing. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, the Bible says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's the same thing John the Baptist had been preaching. And he preaches the same thing. For those who don't like Bible preaching, where they're preaching against sin, man, you are way off base. We need the book. You study your Old Testament, and all the prophets went out, had the responsibility of preaching God's word straight to God's people. And when they got it, they changed. You know the kind of preaching most people want today? They want the kind of preaching that doesn't require anything different about them. That's what they want. But that's not Bible preaching. Let me give you a fourth thing. He not only was a strong preacher, he was a straight preacher. A straight-laced preacher. A conservative, Bible-believing man of God. One of his responsibilities, according to Isaiah chapter 40 and verses 3 and 4, was to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says this in Isaiah, to make his paths straight. Man, you got preachers that are all over the block today. You have no clue where they're headed, where they're going. One day they'll preach against something, the next day they're allowing it. It's one of the reasons, by the way, why if you were to open up the bulletin of Madison Baptist Church, I've got it back here. If you've got one, you might get it and look at it. How about that? Preacher's preaching out of the bulletin. You'll notice down below in the small print, it says Madison Baptist Church is not an open forum for discussion and ideas. It is a church and assembly of believers in Jesus Christ as Savior who accept the Bible to be true and right in every detail. This assembly meets to worship the God of the Bible and to hear his word preached by a man of God as designated by the church. This assembly invites any and all who want to hear the truth of God expounded and explained. However, any disruption on the premises will have their invitation immediately revoked. They are then trespassers and will be treated as such. That's not the end of it. Look at this. You never needed this last line before today in America. It tells you how far we have fallen as a country. Bathroom policy. How about that? A church has to have a bathroom policy in their bulletin because of the wickedness of the day. Bathroom policy. Our bathrooms are only for those whose anatomy would match the word on the outside of the bathroom. Not what they think or feel they are. We don't care what you think you are. It's what you are that counts. Now listen, folks. You're not going to find many churches or anything like that. And they're afraid they'll offend somebody. John the Baptist wasn't worried about offending anybody. I mean, it was straight. He was straightforward. That's why Jesus traveled 17 and a half hours to go hear him. You see, you're not going to be helped by a preacher that's a crooked preacher. You need a straight preacher whose theology is, you take these preachers, their theology comes from the church growth books or comes from the modern commentaries. And I don't care how many books they sold. A lot of heretics have sold millions of books. You need somebody who just simply gives people the Bible. You don't need the ear-tickling thing. That's what those who fall away from the faith, that's what they want to listen to. Somebody's going to come and just make them laugh and feel good and just, yeah, say, well, you know, I think sometimes we need a pat on the back. Yeah, but most often we need a kick in the rear. So that we straighten up. I mean, I believe this. If I'm preaching the Bible, everybody's going to have their feet stepped on every now and then. Everybody. Because nobody is right all the time. Amen. You see, if Jesus did come back and hear a preacher, I'd kind of like him to come here. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I'd be like John, though. I'd have to fall down and say, oh, Lord, we all need to hear you. Because it is all about him. Preachers must be straight and straightforward in the message of salvation, who Jesus is, what Jesus would do. They need to hear straight preaching on the madness of our society. It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Absolutely astounds me when people get on the TV and they'll introduce their girlfriend and their baby. Now, there's a Bible word for that, baby. Do you know what the Bible word for that baby is? Bastard. That's the Bible word. And we are so proud of bastard children today. I think that's the first time I've ever used that word twice in a message. It means illegitimate. But our whole society morally has become illegitimate. Because we have not followed God's word, and God's men have been afraid to be straightforward about it. I wonder what it'd be like if John the Baptist lived in 2017. What would he be preaching about today? I mean, because there is a crowd that doesn't know which restroom to use. But not only that, he was a straightforward servant. In John chapter 3, there are some men that came to John the Baptist to try to stir him up against Jesus. Yes, they were probably the precursors to CNN and NBC and those people. Just trying to stir people up against folks. And so I want you to notice this. Go over to John chapter 3. I want you to turn there. And see how this straightforward preacher, how he responded. Notice beginning in verse 26. Let me start in verse 25. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came to John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. Now, they're talking about Jesus. Jesus, the one that was baptized by John the Baptist. Now, people were leaving John the Baptist to go hear Jesus. Well, who wouldn't rather hear Jesus any day? But how's John going to take this? You know, it's tough to have a big crowd go over to hear somebody else. Have your crowd leave. But now notice how he responds to this. It says, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase. I must decrease. I believe this all of my preaching life. My job is to get people to love Jesus, to love the Jesus of the Bible. My job is not to get them to love me. It's to get them to love Jesus Christ, to follow Jesus Christ. You see, preachers come and go. That's what they do. They come and go. But Jesus is eternal. And he is always the same. You could be faithful to one preacher and to that one preacher, and then when he leaves, you just fall apart. But you be faithful to Jesus, he never leaves. He's promised never to leave us or forsake us. You see, the people who keep going year after year after year are people who have fallen in love with Jesus Christ, and they're sticking with him no matter what. That's the key. So he was about Jesus Christ. He sold no raising the dead prayer clause. He didn't put a TV ad out for special miracle oil that you could send money and get. It was all about God and turning people to Jesus. May I say, not only was he a saved preacher, a serious preacher, a strong preacher, a straightforward preacher, but he was a successful preacher. Now, not because of verse 4, where it says, verses 5 and 6, where it says they went out from Jerusalem and all Judea to come and hear him, not because of the number of people that came to be with him, because he was even a successful preacher when they all left him. Because, you see, he came to exalt Jesus Christ. I think two of the greatest compliments that were given, one was given by people, the other was given by Jesus himself. When Herod heard what Jesus was doing, Herod, the man who had put Jesus to death, he said, that's got to be John the Baptist. What a compliment. When People saw Jesus. Matter of fact, Jesus asked the question, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they say, some say, you're John. What a testimony this man had. Amen. But the second compliment that he got was from Jesus Christ himself. There's never been one born of woman greater than... Jesus said that. Jesus said that about John. And it's amazing. We've got preachers that don't want to do anything John did. They don't want to preach it straight. They don't want to preach against sin. They don't want to tell people how to get right. They'd rather everybody just kind of pat them on the back. I'd rather be one that people would confuse with Jesus. How about that? I'd rather, if there was ever going to be a pat on the back, I'd want it from Jesus himself. That ought to be the desire. And you would think that's what all of God's people ought to want. Now, in light of that, of course, we know John, just from reading about John and what John was about, he'd have been the first to say, oh, no, I'm not him. I'm not even close to him. I'm a man of failings. I'm a sinner simply saved by grace. We know he'd say that. But it reminds me of the story of Adoniram Judson. And Adoniram Judson was a tremendous missionary to Burma back in the 1800s. As a matter of fact, when he and his wife went to Burma and started to work there, they went 7 years before they had their first convert. After 9 years, they had added 13 more. They had a little church of 14. And then he was thrown in jail. The only thing that kept him alive, he was thrown in jail because Burma went to war with England. Adoniram Judson was an American, but the Burmese did not know the difference. He's in jail. His wife had to scrounge around and beg for him in order to be allowed to feed her husband in jail, or he would have died. When he got out of the prison, he'd been there now 11 years. His wife died shortly after he got out, and a month later, his little daughter Ruthie died as well. So he had no family. He could only find two of those 14 church members, and he'd been there 11 years. God ended up using him in a great way. It used to be said of him when he went to Burma, there were no Christians, and when he died, there were no heathen. Now, that wasn't true. There was still a lot of heathen. But that was the kind of testimony that he had. He made a trip in his later years back to America. He was visiting at a church. And somebody said, one reporter stated, that he was hailed as another Apostle Paul. Adoniram Judson began to weep. And they said, hey, that's a great compliment. He said, no, you don't understand. He said, I didn't go to Burma to be like Paul. I went to Burma to be like Jesus. And that ought to be the desire. That's the kind of preacher Jesus heard preach. That's the kind of preacher he walked 17 and a half hours to go hear. That's the kind of preacher that Jesus lifts up in the scripture. Friend, if you're not saved, you need to come to Christ today. We've told you straight, there's only one way to heaven. It's not through any church, any place. It's not through any baptistry. It's not through any works that you can do. You must come to Jesus Christ. He's the only way. For Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Child of God, for those of you who are saved, listen, if you're not walking according to God's word, you may be saved, but you're not right with God. You need to repent and get right with Him today. You need to turn to God, forsake your sin, and live in a walk that pleases God. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Lord, you know I fear messages like this that people get the wrong idea. Lord, help us to understand. For the lost, they need Christ. There's no hope without Him. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus said it. Father, may they come to Christ today. For those who are believers in Christ, may they allow the word of God to shine upon their life. And where they don't measure up in being what you would have us to be, what you saved us for, according to Titus chapter 2, then God, may they get right with you. Thank God for your promise. If we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For I ask it in Jesus' name, with heads bowed and eyes closed.